independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The assumption of the critics of the president, of his pursuers, you might say, is that somewhere along the line in the last year, the president had something to do with colluding with the Russians, something to do with the helping hand, encouraging them, feeding their desire to affect the election in some way, some role they played, some conversation he had with Michael Flynn or Paul Manafort or somewhere. And yet what came apart this morning was that theory.
It came apart. The theory died. The theory that in some way, shape, or form there was collusion and the president knew about it before he was even the president because it was all some big thing that they had planned out. That he and Putin got together every night and when they were done cuddling, they would talk about all of the stuff that they could do to destroy the democratic process and to destroy Hillary Clinton, put him in charge of the free world, and then welcome back the Russians with open arms, only to find out today that none of that was true. But we already knew there was no there there. That's Chris Matthews saying that this thing crumbled. New York Times, LA Times, CNN, ABC, NBC, you name it, they have been all in when it comes to this narrative. They have gone all in. They pushed their chips straight in and said, I'm going to wait. Today was the flop of the card. Right? What they call the river card? Is that what that is? Producer Phil, you're
that is a river card, man. The last card.
That is a river card, the last card. That's it. And whap, whap, wah, 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 wah. Nothing. Nothing. Was there a little drama there today? A little bit. But nothing that we didn't already know. As I said yesterday, you had your opinion going in. Nothing changed. Just like with Hillary. You thought what you thought about Hillary before all this other stuff came out, good, bad, or indifferent, that didn't waver or change. Same thing today. Same thing today. But when you've got Chris Matthews coming out and saying, it's over, this narrative, it's done, it's dusted, now what? I'm curious to see what's next.
What was fascinating, Comey said that basically Flynn wasn't central to the Russian investigation. And I've always assumed what Trump was afraid of, he had said something to Flynn, and Flynn could be flipped on that, and Flynn would testify against the president that he had had some conversation with Flynn in terms of dealing with the Russians affirmatively. And if that's not the case, where's the there there? If it isn't Manafort because he wants to throw him under the bus, and Flynn wasn't central to the investigation, where is the concern that Trump has that has put him on defense for all these months? That's my question coming out of the morning hearing.
Well, I think that he's always on defense. I think he's a reactionary individual who is highly charged and emotional, and I don't think he likes people telling him no, getting him in his face, and accusing him of things. But there is no there there. There wasn't. I said there wasn't going to be any there there. I never believed there was there there. They were involved, the Russians. Trump even said, look, we got to find out if there are satellite people that work within the campaign. We need to find out who these people are. I want to know who they are. I want to know who they are. I want to find this out. But he never, ever, ever obstructed justice. He never told anybody, don't do this. And then when it came to the back and forth, which is what a lot of people wanted to see, how Comey would play this today, it was a lot about, I believe, I needed to take this as direction, I believe.
I took it as a direction. I mean, as the President of the United States, with me alone saying, I hope this, I took it as, this is what he wants me to do. I didn't obey that, but that's the way I took it.
That's the way you took it. Is that the way it was meant? Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask the president. So you took it one way. He could have meant it another. If you already believe what you believe, it really doesn't matter at this point in time. It really doesn't at this point. People were waiting for massive fireworks today. People were waiting for you know, this huge, this bombshell thing, and you knew it wasn't going to come. Even the media had built this thing up to be massive and huge, and they're still trying. I took it as direction. Flynn, good guy. Yeah, we both agree he's a good guy. You know, can we just get this thing done? the cloud of secrecy. It's not a cloud. He's got a cloud hanging over his head because he isn't under investigation. Congress knows it, right? People in Washington know it. But you can't say anything when you could have maybe come out and said something as far as Trump thought. Why can't you come out and say something? Why can't you come out and say something? Why don't you come out and say something? You should come out and say something. Why can't you do it? And he said, look, you know what? I've already done that once before, and I don't want to do it again.
It creates a duty to correct, which I've lived before, and you want to be very careful about doing that. And second, it's a slippery slope, because if we say the president and the vice president aren't under investigation, what's the principled basis for stopping?
See? I think Trump thought, look, Flynn's paid the price. He embarrassed himself. We don't need to go on with this anymore. It's not like we're still chasing down Hillary, right? Can't we just let this thing go and move on with ourselves? Maybe he thought that. Or maybe he goes, hey, you know what? I'm the president. Why don't you stop this? Right? Enough is enough. Let's move on with our lives. Take that as direction. I don't know what he meant. I'm going to think mostly what he meant is, can we just get over this thing? Because I got stuff I want to do. I want to be president of the United States because I won this thing, whether she likes it and half the country likes it or not. And there's an agenda that I have that I want to push through with immigration, with taxes, with reform as far as all kinds of regulations. And yes, I got jobs I want to try to bring back to this country. And I got to deal with ISIS and I got all of this stuff and I'm learning on the fly. And this cloud hanging over my head, it ain't doing me any good. It's not making life easier because everywhere we go, it's always that question. It's always lingering. Always lingering. Comey, though, is definitely somebody who is political. But you could tell today, first of all, I don't think he told a lie. I don't. I think each one of them have their opinion of the truth as they see it. And I don't think either of them are telling a lie. As far as Comey is concerned, I think he thought it was a direction and that he thought he was asking for loyalty in a specific way. I think on the other side, I think Trump was just being Trump. I think he's a BSer. He's a talker. He likes to talk to people. But Comey did do some stuff that was very political. He wrote everything down and because he was worried about it being a lie.
I was honestly concerned that he might lie about the nature of our meeting, and so I thought it really important to document.
And this is where it gets interesting. So he writes all this stuff down, right? So he goes and he does all of these things, writes them all down, puts them out there. He said at one time he was so worried and nervous about the whole thing, he heads down to the vehicle because he ain't driving no car by himself, you know, goes and gets inside the big giant black SUV, grabs his laptop, and he writes down what took place with the president. Gets all of this stuff collected, and then he goes out and hands that stuff off to somebody else.
That might prompt the appointment of a special counsel. And so I asked a close friend of mine to do it.
So he asked a close friend of him at Columbia Law? Right? Is that what it is? I think it was Columbia. He says, hey, here. You take all my stuff, you know? And then he goes and he has his friend leak it because his whole thought process is if I leak this stuff and it gets out, then maybe it'll push them to go get a special investigator or prosecutor to take a look at all of this stuff, which maybe will take some heat off of me, which I find to be rather bizarre. Because we've talked about it. Brennan, Mueller, all of them have talked about the fact that leaks are bad. And you've got the former FBI director who's CYA-ing himself, and he's having his friend leak stuff. I find that to be sketchy. I do. I find that to be a wee bit sketchy. Makes you scratch your head a little bit. It does. Makes you sit back and go, wait a minute here. We all agree that leaks are bad, especially leaks that are classified and certain information that leaks are bad. And you took a private conversation with the president of the United States. You wrote it down and then you gave it to your friend to give to the New York Times? Like, And I rarely do this, but think about that for a second, right? Had he done this to President Obama, the media would be apoplectic. How dare you do something like this, right? He's our president. But they they're not touching on it like they should be, because I find this to be, you leak stuff. You did. Snowden calling him a superhero essentially today, as is Julian Assange. You leak something. Private conversation with the president. That's a little odd. Now, is there any repercussions for him? I think we're going to find that out sooner rather than later. Today they had their closed-door hearing, which is all the classified stuff. And I will say, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff inside the classified or the closed-door hearing that he didn't want to comment outside of that, that he probably could have commented, but he didn't. So we'll see moving forward. But today was one of those days where you look up and you think, first of all, it's great that we're in America, that we have the transparency that we have in this country, that we're able to do something like we did today. But you also see the show for what it is. And a lot of it today was show, and a lot of it, this was not about Russia. This was not about investigations. This was about two men who clashed. And one man, I still think, is upset and angry because I feel, you know, he's hurt. We're going to talk about that in the What's Next segment. Straight ahead, The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. Also, you can tweet at us, at Chad Benson Show. Chime in. What'd you think of Comey today? I thought he told the truth, but the truth is he saw it. 323-538-2423 is the text line. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. That there is the call line. Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
What's next for Erin Burdett is she needs to change that outfit because the bright orange is not working with the high-definition TV. Can I get an amen, Producer Phil?
You can have an amen. Yeah, amen.
Yeah, definitely. What's next for James Comey? Touch on it quickly because lots of Comey talk today. But first, let me say, I don't think Comey's a bad man. I think Comey is a guy that doesn't really – I don't think he realizes that, you know, Trump is somebody we've never seen in the political sphere before. I think he was a bit sideswiped. I think Trump would sit there and tell you, I hear you're doing a great job. People really like you. The FBI people like you. Everybody's saying, great, I hope you stay on. I hope you stay on. Then you fire the guy. I think what's next for him is I think he was a little shocked. He was a little hurt. I mean, he had risen to the penultimate in the world that he lives in. I mean, this is it. You know, he's the director of the FBI, and he's gone. And I think what's next for him is book deals. I think he'll give speeches. I don't think he's going to be out and about. He doesn't seem to be that kind of guy that's out and about every single day on all these talking head shows. I think he's more of a quiet guy. He may even go back and teach. But I don't think he's a bad guy. And too many people out there, I think, hey, this guy's evil and he's bad and he doesn't like Trump. No, I think he was a person who was hurt because guess what? He's a human being. I think any of us in that situation would probably react in a very similar way. Some of us even worse. What's next for him, though, is definitely a book deal, some talking head shows, maybe some speeches, but I think a quiet life, maybe even of teaching or practicing law, is in his future. That's what's next for James Comey. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. People tweeting in about this. One Twitter writer today, I got good and bad with Comey. Testimony was a joke. Trump is not guilty of collusion or obstruction of justice. It wasn't just about that. There was more to that, but that's all that anybody cared about. That's why the media really sunk their teeth into a story and a narrative that much of which they created and continued to water and feed and to see it blossom only go 844 dig Chad. John in Indiana, what's happening?
Hey, buddy. Hey, I'll tell you, Comey may be a good guy in some ways, and he may be very successful later, and I'm okay with that because that happens to people all the time that I don't particularly like. But he reminds me so much of when I was in the corporate world and had guys working for me that would jump back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and do whatever they thought was necessary to keep their position. And I don't like that. I never have liked that. And I don't think you got to be a Republican to think the guy has broken some laws here and has admitted it. And I don't think we ought to continue to worry about what he's got to say.
Yeah, I appreciate that, John. Thanks so much. Look, you know what? In the world of politics, we all CYA ourselves, right? You cover your ass at work, at home, anywhere else you think you can. We jump in, we jump out, we do this, we do that. And when you try to be in a position where you're supposed to be non-biased and, you know, you're supposed to be this, I'm going to objectively take a look at everything from the White House, the Department of Justice. We go through all of these kind of things that we look at. You're not supposed to have any kind of real opinion politically. It's tough because you have to operate in a political world. But there's a lot of people out there that do that, right? They talk out both sides of their mouth. It's what's best for them. I think Comey got a little too close to the sun there when it came to Clinton. And I think he got sucked up in a lot of stuff and it backfired in some ways on him. But even he today said, look, I don't know if let's be real. Even a Clinton one, do you think he'd be here? Possibly not. He even said, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be here, even if Clinton would have won. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. A little global warming talk straight ahead. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You know what I love about my audience? The fact that we have people on all sides of the aisle who are willing to chime in. Texter writes in, I don't think Comey took these notes after meetings with Trump. I think he composed all of the notes since he was fired. Not a fan of Comey. But he tweets at me, at Chad Benson Show from Kayak Fish. Trump was clearly asking Comey to drop the investigation. If not, why the one-on-one talking to the president to the director? Like, again, Trump is unconventional, and Trump is not political. He just maybe wanted to meet the guy, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting to meet the guy. He doesn't – I mean, you guys understand, like, Rex Tillerson is a perfect example. Trump did not know Rex Tillerson. They didn't. They weren't friends. They weren't pals. Maybe he just wanted to meet the guy. Wants to see what everybody's about. Maybe there was more to it. I'm sure there was more to it. I'm not going to say there's not. I'm not going to say that Trump didn't try to influence in some way, shape, or form or do something where he just, you know, because that's Trump, though. But did he obstruct justice? No, because he's not an idiot as much as a lot of people like to think so. He does silly things. But he's not an idiot. Apparently, Comey came out a little while ago and said he expects Mueller to continue to look for obstruction of justice. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think there's any there. I think we realize that today. And unless it was somebody else down the road, I mean, you can. I'm saying 99.99%, but you never know. There could be that 1% of things that we didn't hear that could point to something. But I'm saying there's no there. And I think it pointed it out today. And unless somebody went around Comey, the president, to somebody else to put heat on somebody, I think we're not going to find anything because Comey let it all out there today. Trump has a battle. He has a battle right now. You know, this week is Infrastructure Week. They've talked about infrastructure, bringing back the jobs, bringing back the jobs, bringing back the jobs, 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 jobs. It's what makes America great, bringing back the jobs. Yesterday was in Ohio. He talked about that.
Countless American industries, businesses, and jobs depend on rivers, runways, roads, and rails that are in dire and even desperate condition.
Jobs, jobs, things we have to count on. Dire, desperate. I mean, you know, California, we had this huge Orville Dam nightmare that happened when all this rain hit earlier this year. There's infrastructure problems up and down the states and up and down and across the states, across this country. We know that. We get that. Here's the thing, though. And we were talking yesterday. Was it China where that train is that just goes on the lines, right? They draw the – yeah, it's on asphalt. It's actually on asphalt. It's a train, and there's like these little white lines, and it follows the thing, and it stays on there. It's amazing. It's incredible, right? I mean, this is the same country that did throw a donkey into a tiger cage. Why people watch. But still, it's amazing. But we have taken ourselves out of a lot of things when it comes to, I think, leaning in and looking at the future because of the fact that we are so overly regulated. It is so hard to do a lot of things. I always point out that Segway was supposed to revolutionize everything. I remember when the Segway was being talked about, how this was going to be something huge, that it was getting leaked out here, bits and pieces up in Silicon Valley. And before it even came out, cities had banned it from being used. We overrule and overregulate ourselves to the point of craziness. So I look at infrastructure spending and I realize that no matter how much money we throw at it, it's never going to be enough. And we're never going to be able to do a lot of the things we want to do because we are going to regulate ourselves away from doing things in the future and overregulate ourselves. Perfect example is this, climate change. It's the fight that's going to continue to go. And Hawaii yesterday is the first that is going to follow the Paris Accord by itself. And then you've got this guy here, the man we simply call Moonbeam.
We are now being told by our leader in Washington that climate change is a hoax. That's absolutely untrue, no basis whatsoever. The rest of the world, they can't fathom it. We have a political party in charge that by doctrine says there's no climate change, and anybody who tries to deal with it is just a Democrat, and that's bad.
So you've got Trump saying it's a hoax. But then you've got his people coming out saying he doesn't think it's a hoax. And he thinks that there is a chance that we could actually be causing some damage to the environment, which we are. Let's not pretend that we're not. We are. Because anytime we even put up a new house, we're going to be damaging that precious environment. But it's funny because you come out and you say stuff like that. And I always think, is it okay that we can be honest with ourselves and say, look, maybe climate change is real, maybe it's not. But can we all agree that this deal was bad for America? But what you're doing, it's more than that with the likes of Governor Brown and many others. There is a resistance in this country against this guy. And a lot of it is personality-based. They don't like who he is as an individual. He's a misogynistic pig. They think he's a racist. He's all the things that the people in the progressive world can't stand. He's rich. He's successful. He's a bit of a braggart. He is, he's had a lot of ladies. He said some things. They think he's a racist because he wants to build a wall. And he's all of the things out there that they dislike. Even if he could improve the country, they don't like it based on his personality. So they're going to resist every single thing they can with him. It started with the media, and it's continuing to blossom and grow over and over and over again. And the media pushed this narrative with the whole thing with Comey and this, that, and the other. They push. Because they dislike who he is as an individual. I went and worked out today, and there were two guys there. And they were talking about, they were like, oh, he's a liar. He's a disgusting pig. He's a horrible human being. And they started going, and none of it had to do with policy. None of it had to do with anything. It was all about the feelings they have for him as an individual human being. They feel like he's all of these things that are evil. And so the resistance is going to come. It's going to come, and it's going to come hard. They're coming hard. Doesn't matter. Climate change is just another fuzzy thing for them to do. But it's a way, though, that let's, as business owners, let's be real. It can, the regulations and overregulations of climate change hurts so many small businesses. And they always start screaming, it's about the science.
I think we have to look at the science, look at the reality of global warming, and do what is right, and do what the science tells us.
Well, first, we should do what's right anyways, right? I mean, shouldn't you do what's right anyways? We need to take better care of our environment. We absolutely do. But can you understand people out there who are all about climate change, the frustration that people who don't believe in it feel? Because they look around and they say, well, it's all about science. Science is always right. Yet yesterday I found out, I thought we were only been on Earth for 160 years, but now they're saying it's 300 years because they've done new research, because the model's improved. I thought we were only, you know, I was just told, you know, my childhood was ruined for a while because I was told that Tyrannosaurus Rex was a ginormous chicken, only to find out, no, it's a big lizard. That's science. Can you understand the frustration? But they're using these things as a way to attack him, when in truth, they can't stand the man. I will tell you this right now. If Mike Pence was president, he would get 75% less blowback. The blowback would be natural Republican Democrat kind of ideology, or the fact that he's religious. This is a disdain, hateful view of a man who at times, I'm not going to lie, he has said some disgusting things. Talked about this the other day to several women about the fact that, you know, what he said about I go there and I grab their hoochie coochie because they can. Yeah, it's disgusting. And that's wrong to do. But if you let them, if you let him do that, it shows me you're only there for the money. Because would you be hanging out with this guy if he was a plumber? Probably not. Would you be hanging out if this guy was hanging drywall? Didn't have a pot to piss in? Probably not. You want something, he wants something. At least he was honest about it. Disgusting, yes. But we never turn around and say, well, isn't that kind of disgusting that you're hanging out with him only for the money? Wouldn't we call that in my day and age a gold digger? But it's personality. And this resistance is going to continue. You saw it with this winner reality winner, whatever the hell her name was. It's about a resistance. It's a movement. It's a progressive movement that's loud, that's going to push back as hard as they can on everything. They're going to use every trick in the book. They're going to use every form of media, social media possible to resist this guy. And even if he gets 3, 4, 5% growth and people have more money in their pockets, they still don't care because as an individual, they find him to be disgusting. Chat 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. Talk about Comey today. Obviously, we've been touching on that all day long. Also, I guess I'm going to say what, but first, your car. You love it. I love my car. Betty. Little Betty Page-esque. I had Betsy. Now I have Betty. And Betty is awesome. And Betty takes care of me, and I take care of Betty because I got extended coverage from CarShield. I know what new engines can cost. I do. I know how much things cost. They're expensive. And in this day and age, most of us don't have $1,500, $2,000, let alone $5,000. And a lot of us out there, we're driving cars. We don't want to get rid of our cars because we don't want another payment. With extended coverage from CarShield, you don't have to fret or worry anymore about the what if something happens to my engine. What if something happens to my my water pump? What if something happens to my electronic stuff that I don't even know what the stuff is anymore? What if? Don't worry about it. With extended coverage from CarShield, they take care of all that. 24/7 roadside assistance, rental car while your car's in the shop, and you choose the mechanic that you want your car to go to. They will take care of your car, and they'll do it by going directly to the mechanic and dealing with everything. You don't have to wait for the check in the mail. They're going to deal with it. Their administrators over at CarShield, they've paid close to $2 billion in claims. They're ready to help you. Save yourself thousands of potential car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate in extended vehicle service protection before it's too late. Call 800-CAR-6100 and mention code Benson or visit carshield.com. Use code Benson to save 10%. Call 800-CAR-6100 or go to carshield.com. Code Benson, save 10%. A deductible may apply. Say what? Straight ahead.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
Say what? Not a shocker, says one researcher from the Weizmann Institute of Science in Israel. New research published in Cell Metabolism, which, by the way, have you seen the centerfold, Producer Phil, in Cell Metabolism?
I have not.
God, is it amazing. It is, Cell Metabolism, it's my favorite. I'm like, I got to get this. But they talked about whole wheat bread and white bread. And guess what they found? 10% or half the people, they just did a study of 20 people, the way that their body reacted to whole wheat wasn't very good. The other 10, it was. The way that people reacted to white bread, those same 10 that didn't react well, they reacted fine. Their body was good. And when it came to the whole wheat, it wasn't. Guess what? Everybody in life is different. What works for you may not work for me and vice versa. Because your body is your own temple. We're not the exact same. Some people can eat anything they want. They can smoke and drink. And they'll live to be 100. Other people live a perfect lifestyle and they drop dead. It happens. That's why when I look at all of these studies, I know what works for me. Because we're not all inside of a giant bubble where everything is controlled. We never leave and we lead the exact same lifestyle. And then we can all look up and go, okay, let's look at the results. You have to take in so many things. Yeah, they said, look, this is one of the things they said. They had better glycemic responses to processed white flour, while others have, the volunteers, had a healthier response to whole wheat. Whole wheat, and, you know, I just, when I was a kid, too. Like, Phil, I want to ask you this, because you're, you know, you and I went to school the same age, and I'll ask Anthony this. Do you ever remember a kid who, like, had any kind of issue with, like, bread or anything like that? Like, at lunch or anything?
Not at all.
Not once did I have anybody say I'm gluten-free or my gluten's done something. No peanut allergies, too. We talked about that last night. No peanut allergies. I had one kid that was kind of allergic, I think, and they just told him to sit over there. When everybody eats, if that's that bad, you sit over there. And that's it. Mom didn't complain. We got on with our lives. Nowadays, oh, sweet mother of goodness and all. People are allergic to everything. I was even saying, remember in the 70s, remember the Bubble Boy movie with John Travolta? He wanted to get out of the freaking house, and he had allergies to everything. Nowadays, these kids need special treatment. And somebody, you know, this is when I get the most texts. When I go gluten and I say anything about gluten, I get all these texts. Oh, I'm gluten-free, and it's but it works for you. But I just want to know, what about all these, when I was growing up in the 70s, did something happen in the 90s that all of a sudden everybody has all these food allergies? It's weird. It is. Hey, don't take painkillers. Try meditation instead. Just 10 minutes of mind-calming practice helps to alleviate any discomfort. A new study showed that the Buddhist practice helps improve pain threshold. This, according to British findings, bolsters evidence that suggested mindfulness is effective. while also adds to a growing suggestion that painkillers don't actually work. What works for you may not work. But I will say this, there is something to the mindfulness, I think. That mind over matter thing is very real. It's very real what people can do and the way that they can do things. But I think you have to be good at it too. It's not just something like I got a headache or my knee hurts. Let me sit down for 10 minutes. I think it takes time to build up till you can get to that point. But I think it's very real. So if you're feeling like, hey, my shoulder hurts, meditate for 10 minutes. Take a deep breath. See how that works. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. This is the Friday Junior edition of the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.